It's one of the most competitive midterm races in the nation. Minnesota Congressional District 2. Tonight, we hear from the main candidates, their positions and views on crime, inflation, education, and more. News Talk 830 WCCO, in partnership with Fluence Media, is proud to present a Minnesota Vote Special, a forum with the candidates in Congressional District 2, sponsored by AARP, Minnesota Corn Growers, and Minnesota Credit Unions.
Hello, and welcome to a Meet the Candidates series from Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District, hosted by the Chamber Coalition of Dakota County, representing the Apple Valley, Burnsville, Hastings, Lakeville, and River Heights Chambers of Commerce. My name is Colleen Roth, President of the River Heights Chamber of Commerce, and a special welcome to our guest partner, the Savage Chamber. Each candidate will be asked the same set of questions on topics of interest from the local business community. The interviews are recorded and will be posted on DakotaCountyChambers.com and on all chamber partner websites. In this segment, we will hear from DFL candidate Representative Angie Craig. Our interviewer is Blois Olson, political contributor with WCCO Radio and CEO of Fluence Media. Blois, thank you for being here. Let's begin.
Welcome to the first conversation in 2nd Congressional District race in Minnesota. Tonight, here on News Talk 830 WCCO, my guest is Representative Angie Craig. Our debates, forums, and conversations this election season are presented by AARP of Minnesota, Minnesota's Corn Growers, and Minnesota's Credit Unions. And I want to thank the Coalition of Dakota County Chambers for making this partnership possible. Representative Craig, thanks for joining me.
It's great to be here, Blois.
What in the opening comments here would you like to let listeners and viewers know about you as a member of Congress and this campaign?
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Congresswoman Angie Craig, and I'm so proud to be with you here tonight. I'm even more proud to represent Minnesota's 2nd Congressional District and those strong partnerships that we've been able to create over the last 4 years with our local businesses and with our local chambers. You know, our community has been through a lot over the last 2+ years. And I want to tell you a little bit about what I've done during the course of the challenges. I've strongly supported the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the bipartisan paycheck protection program, the restaurant revitalization fund to help out our local businesses. And as a result, we have saved so many businesses. No doubt challenges remain, but it doesn't help or solve problems to play the blame game. That's why I'm focused on solutions and working across the aisle. Blois, the former president, signed 4 of my bills into law, and I'm ranked in the top 3% of all bipartisan members of Congress, according to Common Ground Committee. I've pushed congressional leadership on legislation to lower prescription drug costs, fought policies that would hurt family farmers, and I've led efforts to ban members of Congress from trading stocks. There's one other economic issue that I got to raise here as we get into our discussion today. The Supreme Court has rolled back nearly 50 years of legal precedent and taken away reproductive rights for millions of Americans. And last week, Republicans in Congress introduced legislation that would ban abortion nationwide at 15 weeks and send doctors to prison if they perform this care, even in Minnesota. My opponent in this race, Tyler Kissner, said late last week that this legislation seems reasonable to him. Let me be clear, no government, no politician has any place in the decision between a woman, her family, and her doctor. Tyler Kissner is too extreme for our congressional district. I voted twice to codify Roe versus Wade into law, and I will do everything in my power to protect reproductive rights. And with that, thank you again so much for having me, and I look forward to the discussion.
Thank you, Representative Craig. We'll try to keep all the answers here to 3 minutes. And you raised your opponent's name, and I think, you know, with all of the discussion and dialogue of this, we'll get into kind of the issues of the business community. But you know, on August 31st, your campaign put out a press release that said that you invited Tyler Kissner to participate in a series of, quote, debates leading up to Election Day. Representative Craig, we tried to offer a debate so that you guys could debate issues like a woman's right to choose. Why did you choose not to do a debate, but rather an interview today?
Well, we do a number of different formats for a number of audiences, Blois. And I think even last cycle, you and I sat down for beers in preparation for the election. So we certainly had a live debate sitting side by side at Farm Fest. Tonight, we'll have a forum. We'll also have a live debate at the Dakota County Chamber of Commerce later in the election cycle. So there's lots of different formats, and we get a lot of requests. We can't take them all.
Great. So workforce is one of the issues businesses are challenged by. Billions of dollars in student loan debt. Our education system continues to encourage higher education that isn't directly tied to career choices that are able to pay loans. 92% of student loans are backed by the federal government. Should there be a policy change to ensure that student loans are tied to income potential for career demand fields?
Well, I don't think that's the solution, Blois. I think the solution is we need to refocus our education system. Number one, we have to focus on why is higher education so expensive to begin with? And number two, why are we trying to convince every kid that they need to go to a four-year college in order to be successful? I have four boys, many of you know that. Three of them have chosen the traditional college route. My son, Josh, he's a machinist and he's doing absolutely great. You know, workforce availability was a key issue when I was on the executive team at St. Jude Medical all those years ago. And that's why we had such partnerships, public-private partnerships with technical colleges, with community colleges, because I fundamentally believe we've got to create the right job skills for the jobs that are available in our communities. Programs like that in the second district, which offer pathways to different careers, I think are incredibly important. Look, that's why I introduced the 21st Century Workforce Partnerships Act. This is a bill that would provide grant dollars to those public-private partnerships that I have experience with in the private sector so that we can build out those programs and give these kids choices again. Look, the bottom line is we've got to focus on the real issue, and that's how do we make sure that college is affordable, that there's a level playing field for everyone, but the cost of college has gotten too high. We've sold a bill of goods to too many students that this is the only path for you. And that's one of the reasons why, as a mother, I want to be a strong proponent for career skills and technical education as a member of Congress.
Do you support the president's loan forgiveness? And some of your colleagues have called for permanent and total forgiveness of student loans. Where do you stand on that?
That's never been my platform at all, Blois. Look, the president issued an executive order. It didn't come before the Congress. It'll provide a little bit of debt relief, but I think the bigger issue is really why is the cost of a four-year degree so expensive in our country? And I think we have to get after that question in the Congress, and that's where I'm going to be focused.
Thank you. Next topic is crime. Local businesses have seen dramatic increase in crime, from break-ins to catalytic converter theft, shoplifting, stealing of prescription drugs. What can the federal government do to help on issues related to crime and homelessness and drug addiction that are plaguing our communities right now?
Well, Blois, you're absolutely right that supporting law enforcement and their efforts toward public safety is one of the most important roles of a U.S. representative. And that is a responsibility that I take incredibly seriously. During my time in Congress, I've advocated fiercely to support local law enforcement. In fact, advocated so strongly that I took a position in opposition to the Minneapolis ballot initiative to eliminate the Minneapolis Police Department. I felt very, very strongly that I needed to call it what it was, which was just a really bad idea. It's why I have voted to fund the police time and time again. And it's why I keep pushing my Democratic colleagues in Washington to better understand the challenges that our local police departments are facing, and especially over the last several years. We've got to address crime and secure public safety. And doing that means we have to equip law enforcement with the resources they need. Look, I've spent years, 4 years now, building relationships with local law enforcement in the 2nd District of Minnesota and asking just that question, how can I support you at the federal level? I'm very proud that I've been endorsed by Dakota County Sheriff Tim Leslie. That's really reflective of all the work that we've done together. Specifically, I've been a strong champion of COPS grants, of burn grants. In fact, I have 4 cities right now in the 2nd District that I am advocating to the DOJ for 5 police officers for every single one of those departments to fund those police officers. You know, first, I'll just say 3 more things, boys. One, I am so committed to working aggressively, as I have in the past, to make sure that I'm finding all of those grant dollars. There are new programs, though, that Congressman Dean Phillips and I are really advocating strongly for. One is the Investor Protect Act, which would be a new grant program for small and medium-sized police departments. The next is Pathways to Policing, which is a bill led by Congressman Phillips as well, that would give us a pipeline of new officers. That's one of the big challenges inside the community of law enforcement right now. Second, I'm going to keep pushing for federal funding to be distributed at the local level. I fundamentally believe, as we looked at these dollars that have come back to Minnesota over the last couple of years, that our county commissioners, our city councils have the best view and visibility of how that money needs to be spent. And then I'll end with this. I'm going to keep up the drumbeat and fight publicly against knee-jerk reactions and responses that demonize all law enforcement out there. We have to go back to a place in this country where we don't form judgments immediately, that the rhetoric has to be toned down a little bit. And I've been willing to call out my Democratic colleagues as well when I don't think that they're doing the right thing. And that's what I'm going to keep doing, boys.
Congresswoman, the next topic is inflation. Obviously, spending over the last 4 years has been unprecedented due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But businesses are starting to really feel the impacts of inflation at a high rate, including the national debt. If reelected, would you support efforts to move towards a balanced federal budget? And what specific proposals do you have to kind of put a cap on inflation right now?
Well, Boyce, thank you. Yes, I would support those fiscally responsible efforts. And in fact, we just put a down payment on that promise here when we passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which is going to, by the end of the decade, save about $300 billion in federal funding. You know, we've had some really tough decisions to make over the course of this pandemic, both with this administration and with the previous administration. Unemployment in this country was 10%. Businesses were just shuttered and shattered, and we had to act. And I would just remind everyone that we acted on a bipartisan basis in the previous Congress as well. The Fed has acknowledged at this point that they moved too slowly. They didn't recognize that inflation was growing quite as fast as it was, but they also recognized that this isn't a U.S. issue. This is a global issue. And the preponderance of that impact has been caused by a disruption in our supply chains. And certainly we've seen the impact that that's had on working families. I know that there is real pain out there. I've been asking this administration, and I do think that there has been some progress. But if you go back, I was sending letters 6-7 months ago to the administration asking them to release more oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I was asking them to allow for year-round sales of E15 or ethanol. And in the short run, I've also advocated, and we can talk energy if you want to later, for additional oil and gas drilling in the United States as we accelerate America's energy independence by moving more toward renewable energy. You know, at the end of the day, I don't think that our country can continue to be held hostage by authoritarian regimes like Russia when they invaded the Ukraine. So every day I've been working on this, the year-round sales of E15 bill. I'm the first member of Congress to get that across the finish line in support of family farmers. And again, lowering costs is really important. The Inflation Reduction Act will lower the cost of prescription drugs. It will cap senior cost at $2,000 a year. It contained a $35 cap, my bill on insulin, $35 a month for Medicare and Medicaid patients. And, you know, we've seen support for the Inflation Reduction Act from a number of former IRS commissioners and former Treasury secretaries, as well as folks from both parties when it comes to top economists who do believe that this is going to put downward pressure on inflation. And I'll just, my final thought here is that, you know, my opponent, Tyler Kistner, has spent months complaining about the issue of inflation, but I haven't seen any real plans from him on how to address it. And in fact, he called inflation something that every Republican is benefiting from. Look, this isn't about politics. It's not about, you know, who wins the next election. This is about working families, and I'm going to stay focused on solving problems.
Representative, in that effort to try to cover as many topics here, let's try to keep our answers to 3 minutes rather than five. Given low unemployment, issues with bottlenecks to immigrants and our borders, do you advocate specifically what for at the federal level to help deal with immigration and integrate immigrants into our country and our workforce?
Boys, our immigration system is broken. We all know that. And it's broken somewhat because for political purposes, it's not convenient to solve the problem. 2013, that Senate bill was a good example of bipartisan support for immigration reform. I believe that we have got to invest in border security, but we also have to make sure that we have a system that people can come here legally and get through. As long as the system is broken, people are going to attempt to go around this system. I'm glad to see the administration working to deal with some of the root causes of migration from South American countries, but I really believe that we need a comprehensive approach here. It's something that I hear every single day, especially for farmers in my congressional district. The Workforce Modernization Act is a bill that I supported and voted for in the Congress, which would allow additional H-2A ag workers year-round in the country. And, you know, producers like pork producers and turkey growers and others, they need that labor desperately. So, I think we've got to have a system where we have a humane immigration system, protects our borders, an efficient system where it doesn't take 7 years to legally come into our country. Until we can come together and do something similar to the 2013 Senate immigration bill and stop using immigrants for political purposes, it is going to be a very challenging situation.
One of the final topics we want to discuss is supply chain. There's been obviously more awareness of supply chain now than ever before. If reelected, what can be done at the federal level on returning manufacturing in the United States, making sure that businesses and consumers have access to the products that they need without bottlenecks in the supply chain?
Well, we need to incentivize companies to diversify their supply chains and manufacture in the U.S. again. And I'll start with the CHIPS bill, which passed the U.S. House of Representatives, the Senate, and has been signed into law. Chip manufacturing is coming back to America, and it's really, really critical that we do that. Earlier this year, besides the CHIP bill, I also supported the Ocean Shipping Reform Act. That got those containers out of the ports, and it got the backlog somewhat going better. But at the end of the day, there are things we can do, but we've got to diversify our supply chain as well. You think about the meat processing sector during COVID. There are four meat processors in America. All of them are owned by foreign companies. We passed a bill, the Strengthening the Ag and Food Supply Chain, which would give make a new department at the White House that would consolidate some of this work. But we also passed a bill that would incentivize our family farmers and our ranchers to start small meat processing facilities. So as I've said before, look, my opponent, Tyler, he's done a lot of complaining about supply chains. He's done a lot of complaining about inflation, but I just don't see any real solutions out there. And I've been very, very honored to be in the fight with our local businesses. I know there's pain out there, and that's why I'm working on all of these bills that I've talked about tonight.
Representative Craig, before you give your closing statement, I want to thank you for joining us. The forums, conversations, and debates on WCCO Radio are sponsored by Minnesota Corn Growers, AARP Minnesota, and Minnesota's credit unions. Representative Craig, just so you know, the invite still remains to meet face-to-face on WCCO Radio with Tyler Kissner, and then we don't have to just reference him in these interviews, and he doesn't have to reference you. You can talk to each other. And with that, I'd give you your 2 minutes for your closing statement.
Well, thank you so much, Lois. Let me start by thanking the Chamber Coalition of Dakota County for giving us the opportunity tonight. It's clear that voters have a very important choice coming up in November. Over these past 2 years, I have worked with so many of you on legislation that literally helped to save small businesses and to create programs that give capital to other businesses to start living their American dream. I've also proposed legislation at the federal level to reduce the federal tax rate from 21 to 18% for our small businesses here across America. I've championed career skills and technical education in our nation, and I've worked to lower the cost of healthcare. I've also proven that I'll work with anyone with a good idea, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, and that's why I've been named in the top 3% of all bipartisan members of Congress by Common Ground Committee. The simple fact is that Tyler's policies are too extreme for this district. He said he would have voted against the bipartisan infrastructure bill, the ARPA money to our counties and our cities that so many of you got grants from. He would have voted against the Inflation Reduction Act that lowers the cost of healthcare and moves us toward energy independence. He has touted inflation as something that is helping Republicans at the ballot box instead of coming up with policy ideas to actually address the issues. He's called for raising the potential for raising the age for Social Security and Medicare, something we should look at. And he called a national abortion ban bill just introduced last week in the Congress reasonable. As your federal representative, I will always protect your rights, your freedoms, and your privacy. I will always stand up to help businesses grow and prosper. And I consider you as a partner in these efforts. I'm proud to support funding our police and honored to have the endorsement for my reelection from Dakota County Sheriff Tim Leslie. Thank you again from this Washington, D.C. location for this opportunity, and I look forward to earning your vote.
Thanks, Representative Craig. Just to be clear, the legislation that Representative Craig references is a ban after 15 weeks introduced by Senator Lindsey Graham, and it will be debated and discussed widely throughout, and we'll ask Tyler Kissner about that in our next interview. I'm Blois Olson. Thanks for joining on this candidate conversation with Representative Angie Craig, presented by AARP Minnesota, Minnesota's credit unions, and Minnesota corn growers. When we come back on News Talk WCCO, Tyler Kissner.
Thank you, Blois, and thank you to our candidate, Congresswoman Angie Craig, for participating in Meet the Candidates series with our Chamber Coalition of Dakota County, representing Apple Valley, Burnsville, Hastings, Lakeville, and River Heights Chambers of Commerce, and our guest partner, the Savage Chamber. As a reminder, candidates are being recorded and will be posted on DakotaCountyChambers.com and our partner chamber websites. My name is Ed Carney, president of Apple Valley Chamber of Commerce. On behalf of my chamber partners, I want to remind you to please cast your vote in the general election on November 8th. It's that important. Thank you.
You're listening to this Minnesota Votes special, a forum with the candidates in Congressional District 2 on News Talk 830 WCCO, sponsored by AARP, Minnesota Corn Growers, and Minnesota Credit Unions.
Hello and welcome to a Meet the Candidate series for Minnesota 2nd Congressional District, hosted by the Chamber Coalition of Dakota County, representing Apple Valley, Burnsville, Hastings, Lakeville, and River Heights Chambers of Commerce. My name is Jennifer Harmoning, president of the Burnsville Chamber of Commerce, and a special welcome to our guest partner, the Savage Chamber. Each candidate will be asked the same set of questions on topics of interest from the local business community. The interviews are recorded and will be posted on DakotaCountyChambers.com and all partner chamber websites. In this segment, we'll hear from Tyler Kistner, and our interviewer for all three candidates is Blois Olson, political analyst with WCCO Radio and CEO of Fluence Media. Blois, thanks for being here. Let's begin.
Thanks, Jennifer. We're back on News Talk 830 WCCO with the second conversation tonight from the Chamber Coalition of Dakota County in the 2nd Congressional District of Minnesota. All of our forums, conversations, and debates during the election season on WCCO are presented by AARP of Minnesota, Minnesota Corn Growers, and Minnesota's Credit Union. Joining me now is Republican Tyler Kistner. Tyler, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Blois. It's great to be here with you today. I really appreciate the time.
No problem. Hey, as we kick this off, just why don't you take 2 minutes and introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, as I said, you know, it's great to be here today. And although our campaign was certainly hoping to have an opportunity to openly debate with all the candidates in the 2nd District, it is sad to see that Congresswoman Craig would not agree to a debate this early before voting and instead opted for this forum format. But nevertheless, Blois, it is an honor and it's great to be here. And for those who don't know me, my name is Tyler Kistner. I'm a native Minnesotan, grew up in the Brooklyn Park Champlin area of the Twin Cities. And after graduating from the University of Minnesota, Twin Cities, I married the love of my life, my high school sweetheart, Marie. And together we live in Prior Lake with our beautiful two children, Elodie and Gabriel. Before moving back to Minnesota, I served 9 years active duty as an officer in the Marine Corps, mostly serving in Marine Special Forces, and was on 4 overseas tours. I made the decision to run for Congress this second time after seeing the direction our country was headed under the leadership of President Joe Biden and Congresswoman Angie Craig. Right now, our nation is experiencing record high inflation, record high gas and energy prices, and a downturn in the economy that is literally affecting every single Minnesota family in the 2nd District. Most families I talk to are really worried about how to put food on the table, let alone gas in the car and heating up their houses this coming winter. And we need to rein in that government spending, get inflation under control, and get our economy back on track. I want to provide a greater prosperity for my children, our grandchildren, our future generations, and a more prosperous future for everyone's children, a future that we're proud to be an American in. So it's great to be here today, and I look forward to speaking with you about the important issues to help inform the people of the 2nd Congressional District before they start voting in this important midterm election.
Tyler, the first question we want to talk about is workforce. Workforce has been a top issue plaguing businesses throughout Minnesota, but specifically in the 2nd Congressional District. With billions of dollars in student loan debt out there, our education system seems to be encouraging expensive higher education, but it's not necessarily tied to careers that help people repay the loans. 92% of student loans are backed by the federal government. Should there be a policy that directly ties income potential to the demanded career fields for future student loans?
You know, student debt from ever-increasing tuition costs at these four-year universities do need to be brought under control. I mean, this coupled with the rising cost of living on every single American household due to inflation has really strained the budgets of Minnesotans who are now paying more for nearly everything today. I think establishing tax credits for businesses to offer loan repayment programs for employees entering the workforce would help kind of relieve some of those issues students are facing with student loan debt, as well as just help incentivize these students to enter the workforce in some of these career fields. Additionally, support for these careers in the trades must continue to help address the workforce shortage across the country that a lot of these businesses are facing. The support for workforce shortage, like public assistance programs, they really need to be configured to assist those in need to gain those skills necessary for the workforce and really help provide that incentive to enter the workforce, not remaining apart from it. Even additional funding for the trade certifications at the community and technical college levels would definitely be great. Kind of additional scholarship or grant funds for certificates in the trades like construction, manufacturing, some of that truck driving, that helped kind of increase the popularity and demand for some of those critical skills that we're just not seeing out there in the workforce right now. And really, we need to also help look at that wage spending and keeping it here in the U.S. to grow our economy and make sure that these large corporations don't continue to send these wages overseas, which is resulting in a net loss for the American economy.
Tyler, President Biden recently forgave $10,000 for certain student loans. Did you support that? And would you support more debt forgiveness for student loans?
I support a common sense approach to where you're not having blue collar workers or businesses supporting the decisions of others. That's why I think it's better that you provide these tax incentives to businesses to offer that to their employees already.
Thank you. crime has been a major issue throughout the Twin Cities, from shoplifting to theft of catalytic converters, drug theft, break-ins, and it's impacting our businesses. Our local police departments say they don't have enough resources. Hiring challenges and these increased mental health calls continue to add to the burden on law enforcement. How can you help at the federal level to support law enforcement and combat crime?
And across Minnesota, and specifically here in the seven county metro area, I mean, we've seen a steep increase in crime plaguing our communities. When you go across the district, parents are hesitant to even let their children go out to the park and play these days due to this lostness in our streets. I mean, it's really sad that so many families are experiencing this. And it's really, it's that rhetoric from the Defund the Police movement and their allies who have literally supported Congresswoman Craig and had these disaster effects on law enforcement's ability to really effectively recruit and retain these officers who are keeping our communities safe. The main difference between the candidates in this race when it comes to policing is that I've always and will always have our law enforcement's backs, not just when polling tells me to do so. Congresswoman Craig, however, she voted not just once, but twice to strip qualified immunity away from our police officers who have to make these split second decisions in high stress situations every day. And these votes also helped increase rules and regulations on law enforcement departments without ever providing any of the funding or resources necessary to help comply with them. I will support police departments with the recruitment, retention, and bonus opportunities through these federal grants that help bring new officers in while also keeping good officers on the force to protect our streets. But then there's also grants at the federal level that help support these prosecutors with more resources so that they're able to effectively keep these criminals behind bars and not put them back out on our streets. Another thing that's really kind of keen for me is also looking for these federal funding programs that support policing efforts as it relates to drugs by helping departments fight back against the increase in fentanyl that's continued to pour into our streets and our communities across the 2nd District. Crime is a top priority for me, and ensuring our law enforcement always have the support, the resources, and necessary training to help keep our communities safe is something that I will always continue to back and support.
One of the major issues families are dealing with today is inflation. You've mentioned it already. There's been unprecedented spending over the last 4 years due to the COVID-19 pandemic from the federal government. Businesses are dealing with this daily and are very concerned about ongoing and runaway inflation related to the national debt. If elected, would you support efforts to move towards a balanced federal budget? If yes, how? And if no, why not?
I mean, this is something I've been talking about the last 4 years, even during my first run. And when you say over the last 4 years, I'd say this issue really kind of was expounded over the last 2 years. And I mean, now, sadly, over the last week, our economy continues to suffer from these economic policies and this reckless government spending that President Biden, Congresswoman Craig, and their Washington Democrats have continued to push. I mean, inflation is still a 40-year record high and is continuing to affect the cost of living for every single American household. The very first thing I'm going to do is find solutions to rein in this federal government spending to lower that inflation and invest in American businesses. Over the last 2 years, Congresswoman Craig and her Democratic allies in D.C., they voted for almost $4 trillion in increased government spending. And this latest one, the Inflation Reduction Act, I like to call it what it is, it's the Inflation Recession Act, really had zero impact on lowering inflation and only added billions of dollars into the spending. The last thing families and businesses across the 2nd Congressional District want or need is 87,000 more IRS agents that are literally frivolously auditing their records. In addition to reining in government spending, we also need to look to invest back into American energy independence while also shorten the supply chain by decreasing our reliance on these foreign markets and increasing our mining and production of U.S. resources and manufacturing here in this country. I'm going to work to cut that federal government spending, but also get inflation under control to make the cost of living affordable for Minnesota families and our businesses and community to thrive so they can prosper here in the 2nd District.
Just to make sure we're clear here, so you would support efforts to have a balanced federal budget?
Yes, I would support efforts to balance the federal budget.
Immigration, it is a headline issue, and both parties have clear positions or at least talking points on it. But we have record low unemployment. We have bottlenecks to get immigrants here at our borders. We need workers in this country, and it impacts businesses. At the federal level, what can we do to create a more effective immigration system to vet and integrate immigrants into our country and into our workforce?
When we talk about immigration, I mean, this is a major issue that is not only affecting communities across the country, but right here in the 2nd Congressional District as well. And the border issue is a security issue as much as it is a workforce issue. There are many things that we need to do to address the surge of migrants coming into the United States illegally. And I mean, first, We need to secure our border and stop the flux of illegal immigration and start enforcing the laws that we actually have on the books. This will also stop the influx of the record levels of fentanyl that's entering this country, which is the leading cause of death amongst people ages 18 to 45. And then as for immigration, we really need to work to reform our immigration system and secure our borders, not just talk about it. I mean, we've been talking about this for over 10 years. One of the main things we need to do is create a system that helps prioritize highly skilled migrants to help kind of fill many of those jobs that you literally talked about that aren't just being filled within the American workforce. This is not only that, but it's also an accelerated immigration process for highly educated and skilled workers to come here. But not only just accelerating the immigration process, but also having a tax code that allows them to keep more of the money that they're rightfully earning. The top priority for immigration has to incentivize people to enter this country legally, not illegally, illegally, to support the demands of our workforce needs and help really support that American economy.
Just as a follow-up there, are there any initiatives that have been proposed to expedite legal immigration that you've seen or would support in Congress?
I mean, a lot of people have a lot of ideas and issues. I think there's not an effective one solution, common sense approach that I've seen yet. I think this is one that we need to really kind of look at the ways to incentivize that, the legal means, and not continue to incentivize people coming in here illegally over illegal means.
Energy is a hot topic, from gas prices to home heating as we enter the colder months here in Minnesota. Given the recent geopolitical events in Europe, impact on the cost of energy worldwide, how would you approach a transition to cleaner energy and maintaining affordable rates from your role in Congress, if elected, for residents of the 2nd Congressional District?
Given the state of our economy, it's vital that we restore our nation's energy independence. Across the country, people are seeing their energy costs soar due to the actions of the Democrats in D.C. I mean, they have literally destroyed America's energy independence. This is one of the most damaging things that they've done in the last 2 years, to raise prices Americans are paying at the pump, the cost to heat our homes, which is only going to get worse as we get into the winter here in the next few months, and increase the cost of living for every American household. In Congress, I would support legislation that would reduce our dependence on foreign oil and natural gas, and work to bring back that energy dominance that we had 2 years ago. And when it comes to energy, I believe in the all of the above approach, common sense energy solutions, because I truly believe each approach has a unique place in our energy grid. The United States has the safest regulations in the world for producing these vital energy resources. And instead, we always go to places like China and Venezuela that have the worst clean energy acts in the entire world. It's essential that we also work to strengthen our energy independence while finding solutions that are more cost effective to the consumers, both residential and commercial, but also working to lower these costs and really help decrease that dependence we have on these other nations, because energy security starts with reliable and efficient energy sources. Republicans are going to increase and unleash that American energy independence once again and help bring those costs down for American families and businesses who are already paying records at the pump.
One of the other burdens due to inflation and higher costs are prescription drugs and healthcare for seniors specifically. Any specific proposals you have or would support in lowering the cost of healthcare and prescription drugs for all of the residents of the 2nd District?
I mean, this is a multifaceted, complex issue. I'm blessed to have a lot of wise people around me, my mom being one of them, who is a senior accountant for one of the local hospitals. And when you talk about healthcare, it's not just health insurance, which most people always want to say it is. It's the rising cost of health insurance, but also the rising cost of medical technology and the care being provided, as well as the pharmaceuticals, as you said. Another thing is just the amount of people that continue to go to these Medicaid programs, which is only paying 49 cents to the dollar of the care being provided. And a lot of those hospitals are then putting the cost onto those with the private insurance and putting the burden on them to increase the demand and the cost that they're paying for premiums and deductibles. I mean, for starters, when you talk about medical technology and prescription drug prices, I'm all for opening up our markets to foreign markets to help increase the competition, which will ultimately lower the cost of those goods. And then when you talk about health insurance, I mean, the rising cost of healthcare is a critical issue facing many Minnesotans as you go across the district, to include myself and my family. I think what we need is to offer patients more choice, rein in those skyrocketing costs, and really improve that quality and expand that access to care. I mean, it's a common sense approach that's more patient-focused solutions, which will help lower the healthcare costs by one option is these health savings accounts, but also providing more of that transparency in billing so that patients know the true cost of care they're getting and what type of care that's being provided. So it gives them more of an option of where to go, but then also opening up these artificial state lines so that consumers aren't just stuck in a state. You can do it with your auto insurance with USA or Geico, but you can't do it with your health insurance. I think opening up greater competition there would definitely help drive down those costs as well. And if you can hear, in terms of the job market, it sounds like the landscaping crew here at my business are doing pretty well.
Got it, Tyler. I can hear that in the background. Thanks for letting our listeners know. You're listening to a conversation with Tyler Kissner. He's Republican running in the 2nd Congressional District. This is a program brought to you by the Chamber Coalition of Dakota County, as well as WCCO's Debate Forum and Conversation Partners, AARP Minnesota, the Credit Unions, and Minnesota Corn Growers. Back to energy just for one moment. Do you continue to support federal support for clean fuels, biofuels, and fuels generated from Minnesota farmers?
Yes, I do. When you definitely look at the renewable energy, I think looking and talking with a lot of farmers across the district, that's one area that we can continue to invest in and grow. When it comes to renewable energies like biofuels, I think what we need in the ethanol industry is definitely more certainty and clarity for these farmers and investors. We also need to allow for more freedom and ingenuity and innovation in our fields in a way in which farmers' crops are used to help support the American economy writ large.
One of the big issues we've had much conversation about from casual conversation to trying to understand it more is supply chain. Lack of consistent access for products and supplies, in addition to tripling and quadrupling lead times, has handicapped many Minnesota businesses in the 2nd District. It makes it unmanageable for the members of these chambers of Congress. What would you advocate for at the federal level to help stabilize the supply chain for businesses and consumers?
You know, when you talk about the supply chain, I think a lot of politicians, including my opponent, Congresswoman Angie Craig, will continue to tell you how they have these Band-Aid fixes to the major issues we're facing within the supply chain. And many of these bills will help. I mean, that is true. But the truth is, we need a common sense approach to deal with the fact that we are far too reliant on foreign markets and their supply chain, something the pandemic definitely brought to light for a lot of us in America. The greatest support we can give to the supply chain is having a short and close supply chain. That means more products and manufacturing here in the US. I mean, the greatest example is mining up in northern Minnesota, the amount of times we continue to kick that can down the road. I mean, we have to mine and build our own natural resources and products here so we aren't relying on these foreign countries, with a lot of these foreign countries having greater potential for disruption in their supply chain, as well as some of these countries like China, who would like to see us fail. Additionally, when you look at some of the regulation, we have far too much red tape. And I mean, this is something that is restricting U.S. businesses' ability to respond quickly to meet the demand within manufacturing and the supply chain. So we need to cut back on some of that uncertainty and the red tape to unleash your supply chain from unnecessary restrictions. Ultimately, a short and close supply chain is a reliable and efficient supply chain.
Tyler, your race is being watched by those all over the country. As you think about what you're hearing from people every day in the district, what are the top issues that you believe you bring a unique perspective to in this race?
I bring a unique perspective to a lot of the issues facing the middle-class families, the working families, and a lot of small businesses. I live in the middle class. I mean, Congresswoman Craig definitely wanted to make sure she highlighted how much I made when she tried to call me out for getting my financial disclosure in late, highlighting that I make $67,000 a year while she's living in a nice, beautiful mansion. But it also gives me a unique perspective to understand what a lot of these small businesses are facing as I'm trying to run and make one survive here in this this high inflation type economy that Biden has created. So that's one of the perspectives that I kind of help bring to the table and understand that as a family man trying to help keep the prosperity for my children at the forefront and continue to fight for. I understand what a lot of families are going through. A lot of those families who continue to look for greater prosperity amongst their children and our future generations.
What was the delay in filing your financial disclosure?
I was, I not only am a running for Congress, but I also have two other jobs. I run a small business in consulting, but also have a commitment to the Marine Reserves. I was giving a lot of my time to the Marine Reserves to have a satisfactory year And a lot of the things in terms of the campaign kind of were pushed to the wayside in the summer while we were getting a lot of other requirements done before we got into the hot and heavy of the campaign season right here in the fall.
A woman's right to choose or abortion has become a national issue. It's become a state issue, and it's one of the center points of this campaign on both sides. Last week, Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, introduced a bill that I believe you called reasonable that would ban abortion after 15 weeks on a federal level. You've also said that you thought that the federal government should stay out of a woman's right to choose or regulating abortion. Can you state for our listeners and viewers your current position on abortion and a woman's right to choose?
You know, I'll back up a little bit on this one, because I mean, as we speak right now, Nancy Pelosi's super PAC is running ads that are categorically false about me and are blatant lies. I've been on record numerous times, to include with you, as well as numerous outlets on my position on abortion. Personally, I'm pro-life, with the exception for rape, incest, life of the mother. And yet no one's ever gotten Angie Craig on her position, because Angie Craig and the Democrats are trying to scare you about me. And I get that. But my objection is that Angie Craig's policies allow for an abortion for any reason, even 9 months into pregnancy, even minutes before the child's to be delivered. That one I can't go for. And she's voted twice for that. This decision should be left to the states, not the federal government.
Would you vote on federal legislation related to abortion?
As I said, this decision should be left to the states, not the federal government.
Sounds great. Tyler Kissner, thanks for joining us today. You have 2 minutes for your closing comments related to this conversation.
2 minutes for closing comments, but man, 50 days before we start voting. So no, Blois, I really appreciate it. I'd like to thank you and the Chamber Coalition of Dakota County for moderating this forum event today. We touched on a lot of important issues facing American households and businesses during this last half hour, but to the people of the 2nd Congressional District, who over the last 2 years have been struggling to put food on the table, gas in their tanks due to the 40-year record high inflation, I understand your difficulties and concerns. It is for these same issues and concerns for my two children, your children, our future generations, that I really stood up to run for Congress again this cycle. My family, your families, our businesses, they can't survive another 2 years with these disastrous policies Democrats has forced onto us from D.C. Past 2 years, they've been challenging. Been challenging for all of us who have been struggling to pay the bills, support our families, keep our houses warm, and keep our businesses afloat through afloat and profitable. With your vote, we can work to put our best foot forward and work to lower the cost of living. We can achieve this by reining in that out-of-control government spending, investing back into the energy independence that America once had, and utilizing our own natural resources and manufacturing to support that supply chain. This work will bring us closer to strengthening our economy and getting it back on track. This will help us make living affordable for every American household, and we can work to strengthen our future for our future generations, the prosperity for our children and our grandchildren. Blois, thank you so much for your time today, and I look forward to continuing to fight for each and every Minnesotan in the 2nd Congressional District, and I look forward to earning all your votes this November.
Thanks, Tyler. That's Tyler Kissner. He's a Republican running for Congress. You've been listening to a conversation that's been facilitated by the Chamber Coalition of Dakota County. I want to thank them, our partner. I also like to thank our sponsors for our election coverage here on WCCO, AARP of Minnesota, Minnesota's Credit Unions, and Minnesota Corn Growers. I'm Blois Olson. Next hour, we'll have a Fluence Forum about the election voting process presented by AARP of Minnesota. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back after these messages.
Thank you, Blois. And thank you to our candidate, Tyler Kissner, for participating in this Meet the Candidate series hosted by the Chamber Coalition of Dakota County, representing Apple Valley, Burnsville, Hastings, Lakeville, and River Heights Chambers of Commerce, and our guest partner, the Savage Chamber. As a reminder, all three candidate interviews are recorded and will be posted on DakotaCountyChambers.com and partner chamber websites. My name is Krista Jeck, president of the Lakeville Chamber of Commerce. And on behalf of my chamber partners, I want to remind you to cast your vote in the general election on November 8th. Thank you for joining us.